and you are listening to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Friday, Open Mic Friday, the 29th in the year of our Lord 2016, which means Open Mic, you can call in with any question you might have on your mind. In the St. Louis area, the number is 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Let me see. Okay, we're just about ready to get there. As I said, the numbers are 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. And so let's speak right now. Hi, you're on the air. I'm Tom Baker. How can I help you?
Hi, my name's Brooke.
Yes, Brooke.
I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I'm actually in school right now for, I'm in pharmacy school, and I'm in a Bible study with FCA, if you've heard of it.
FCA?
Yes.
No.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Oh, yes, that I've heard of. I just didn't recognize the letters.
Yeah. Every week we do a Bible study that's like FCA oriented. So they like have all of these different subjects that have to do with like athleticism and God at the same time.
Sure.
And it just seems like every time that we have a Bible study, each one, I feel like I'm not really learning anything. It's more so like, it's really just kind of making you feel guilty about not doing enough for God, and like that you are unable to reach these standards that honestly like nobody can reach. So I guess I kind of want some advice on like how I could try to like construe them so that they're not making everyone just feel guilty about not doing enough for God and stuff like that.
Well, let me share with you something that may be a surprise to you. The essence of Lutheran theology, every time I do a sermon, is to make the congregation feel bad that they're unable to meet the requirements of God's commandments.
Yeah.
You see, that is a good thing.
Well, I realize that.
Where it becomes like bad is...
They don't tell you that he died for your sins.
Right.
And, yeah, sorry, I didn't really...
No. You were quite accurate there, Brooke. The point I'm making is that you're hearing that a lot today in sermons, Bible studies, because they think the goal of the church is to get you to be more obedient to God's commands, so God will then love you more, give you more blessings. In fact, there's some people who say the reason you don't get blessings is you're not obedient enough. That the problem in that is you never hear the gospel. It's kind of like going to a doctor and all you hear is what's wrong with you. And there's really nothing. I mean, what's the doctor going to say? Become more healthy, but he doesn't give me any advice as to how that could come. In proper Christianity, there's two points. The law is used to make a person feel bad about their chances of getting to heaven, but then the gospel is to be given to show that God took care of that problem. He did for you. And unfortunately, you're involved, at least at these Bible studies, in what we call common sense Christianity, which is not biblical, because it sounds like it's like every other religion. Every other religion has a goal of making people love one another better, etc. Now, Christianity does that, but only after the gospel is preached, so that becomes the motivation. I'll bet you one thing. You don't have a pastor doing the FCA Bible study, do you?
No.
No, in my congregation, lay people never led a Bible study unless they had gone over it with me ahead of time, like our Sunday school teachers. The fact is, the Bible is simple, but it's very complex. And if someone isn't trained, that's why God set up pastors to help people get through it, you will never be feeling good about this Bible study. I hate to give you such bad advice, except there's got to be somewhere in this city, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, doing a Bible study at their church. I know the church I attend. Plus, I do three Bible studies at different churches all during the week. And that's what you need to find, is a pastor who knows the original Greek, the original Hebrew, the cultural, because things are totally different from that point of view.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I sure appreciate your call, but it's a position that a lot of people are finding, even in some churches with pastors who think now their goal is to make their people more obedient so that God will get to love them and they will have more blessings. Are you married with any children?
No, I'm in college right now.
Oh, okay. So. Well, there are people married in college.
Well, that's true.
But my point is, when you have a child and that child disobeys, are you going to kick it out of the house?
No.
Exactly. God is that way towards you. He knows that we are unable to behave properly, fully, and perfectly. Occasionally, yes, we do. But because of that, that's where Jesus came in order to take away any punishment of our sins, so that you can be comforted knowing that as you get through this valley of the shadow of death, so to speak, here on earth, God will never leave you. He'll always be with you. And he considers you to be a righteous saint, Brooke, because of your faith in Jesus Christ.
Well, that's wonderful.
I know it is. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay, thank you.
God bless.
Bye, thanks.
Goodbye, and we're just going to go down the line, and we'll talk to Marilyn. Marilyn, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. I want to say amen to what you just said. I've got three things, and I'm running real fast because I know you have others. One, they brought up in an early study this morning the difference between Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ in the Bible. The other thing I wanted to ask, because you talked earlier this week about pro-life, very, very important, I want to know about the frozen embryos that are destroyed. These are babies, even though not the way God meant them to be.
Okay.
Last thing I wanted to comment on is the Garden of Eden. I don't think we know where it is, but I was reading a book back from the 1700s, and it said, in the beginning, of course, that comes from Scripture, and then he goes on, it was John Locke, said, all the world was America. And you know, I think so too. I don't know where the Garden of Eden was, but we sure had a beautiful country once upon a time. Okay, I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you, Marilyn, and I'll respond to each of those quickly.
Thank you.
God bless. Number one, Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ. The name of our Savior is not Jesus Christ, and it's not Christ Jesus. The term Christ is a title. It is the Greek word for the Hebrew word for Messiah. So when we talk about Jesus, the people in his day, the way they knew him is, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's how they understood. For example, my name is Tom Baker, so I'm sure I was Tom, the son of a baker. That's how names came about. Whether you call him Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, it doesn't really matter. It's like saying King Herod or Herod the King. It's just a reversal of the title. And sometimes they'll say Jesus Christ because maybe they're emphasizing the humanity. Or they'll say Christ Jesus because they're maybe emphasizing his mission as the Messiah. So it doesn't matter which way it's done. You need to look at the context to figure that out. Number two, we do agree with you that the destruction of embryos who are human beings is contrary to pro-life. And that's why in some states there are certain laws that protect that. And then where is the Garden of Eden? Well, at the time of the creation of the world, the entire earth was a kind of a Garden of Eden. In other words, sin hadn't come in, so there was no tornadoes, there were no hurricanes, animals didn't eat each other, this kind of thing. But if you want to know the specific place of the Garden of Eden, nobody's really been able to figure that out yet. We do know that it appears to have been on a mountain, because some parts of the Bible speak of the Garden of Eden on a mountain. But wherever the specific place was doesn't really matter. I've heard about four theories on that, because what happened when they fell into sin, they were removed from the Garden of Eden, and of course then the earth started falling apart in all kinds of ways. Creation, meteors, you know, could destroy the earth now. I was just watching a program there where if a certain meteor had occurred maybe a week before, they said it was in direct line with the earth, but it didn't. So we're living in a sin-filled world, which has consequences because the fall of human beings into sin. And that's why, once more, we look to Jesus as our Savior. Going down the line, let's go talk with Herman. Hi, Herman. You're on the air. And numbers, by the way, are 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. It appears Herman just hung up, so let's go to Carol. Hi, Carol. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. This is actually, I'm hoping that Brooke is still listening, because I have a really excellent suggestion for her for a good local Lutheran Bible study for kids that are college and slightly beyond. She could go to Facebook page to get their information. It's the Quarter Life Fellowship St. Louis, quarter life being one compound word, like Q-U-A-R-T-E-R-L-I-F-E. And it's held over at Village Lutheran in Ladue, just off Clayton Road. And they have one of the doctoral students from the St. Louis Seminary is leading that. My daughter has been going to it for years. She just graduated college, and she just gets so much. She just, that's her highlight of the week. She just loves going to that study because she's learning so much. So I just wanted to really recommend that to Brooke. Again, she can just go to Facebook, Quarter Life Fellowship St. Louis, and like their page, and then she'll get all the information. They always meet Thursdays.
Thursdays at what time?
7 to 9.
Okay, that's the same time I have a Bible study at Trinity Orchard. No, no, no.
But this would be a lot closer for her, and it'd be people her own age.
Yeah, I know. I just hate advertising anything about the church where the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a member.
I know. But
that's great.
But you need to go to these studies, because this is for younger people. The focus is for people in their, like, college age and then in their 20s.
No, Village Ladue, and that's on Clayton Road.
Yeah.
And just a little, about a mile past the Galleria,
yes,
you know, area. And I really appreciate that. That's on Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m.
Right.
And if they have a graduate student, do you know if he's already a pastor?
He's a doctoral student. He's working on his doctor's degree over at the seminary.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I tell you, if you can find a study like that where you have somebody who's really been involved in the original languages, the culture, etc., it's too bad I have that Bible study, because maybe I might even attend. Thanks so much, Carol.
Okay.
Blessings. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. Yeah, that is an excellent suggestion, and we want people to keep that in mind. Okay. It looks like we have Herman back. Hi, Herman. You're on the air.
Thank you, Pastor Baker. You mentioned the account where the Russian Orthodox people were going into cold water, and might mention that in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, the Epiphany season, they commemorate baptism by water events and actions of people going into water at the beach or at the river or things like that. Just might comment that the Lutheran Bible scholar like Dr. Robert Linsky in his trip to the Middle East and looking at Damascus and other places came to the conclusion that the style of baptism practiced was not so much total immersion, but a person standing in like water or a shallow type of tub and being poured with water, that he came to the conclusion a number of early church records and scriptures would indicate that that was the method of baptism then.
Well, I'm not sure I got that from Lenski, but one of the points made by someone who agrees with you is, what is the symbol of baptism in the early church?
It is Jesus Christ.
No, I'm talking about an object.
It's usually a dove.
No, it's, well, it can be, you know.
Yes.
It's a shell.
Yes, the shell.
Why do you need a shell if they're dunking them?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's kind of evidence, and we see those drawings of shells, even in caves, etc. And there they did not have water. And then the Philippian jailer, remember, Paul went there and baptized his whole family, and I'm sure they didn't have a swimming pool.
Yes, that's one of the points that Linsky made in his commentaries on that.
Now, it's not inappropriate to take someone, say, to a body of water and dunk them because, you know, the symbolism is pretty good because we're drowned in our sin. You know, baptism, we're buried in Christ. And so sometimes people will think, well, therefore it's more symbolic. But remember, the Lord's Supper was done during the Passover. And we, at least in our church, never had a Passover before every Lord's Supper. So just because the context may be a little different. And by the way, have you ever seen drawings of Jesus being baptized by John the Baptizer?
Yes.
I have never seen him being dunked. He's always standing in the water.
That's correct.
So good point, Herman. I sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
God bless. All right. Our numbers here are, what are they? In the St. Louis area, 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. So let's go speak with Charles. Hi, Charles. You're on the air.
What is your take on Genesis 12, 17, and so forth?
Okay.
Essentially, it says when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw that Abraham's wife was very beautiful. They treated him well for that, for her sake, and the Pharaoh took, and he told him it was her sister.
Yes,
his sister, I should say. And so Pharaoh took her as his wife, and they treated Abraham well. But then the Lord inflicted very serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife Sarah, and it was unbeknown to Pharaoh that it was his wife, because Abraham indeed told half-truths, I guess. And I'm wondering why, in your opinion, can you explain why God would have caused such serious sickness to come on Pharaoh, even though it was a seemingly innocent action on his part?
Oh, that's a really good question. In verse 18, Pharaoh calls Abram and says, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?"
Exactly.
I actually talked about that at a Bible study recently. For example, you're driving down the street and it says 40 miles an hour. To your right is an 18-wheeler. And so you really can't see along the street past him. And you go past a sign, which he hides from you, where it says 30 miles an hour. So you're still going 40 miles an hour, and you get pulled over by a policeman.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Exactly. And so what God has done, and this is really a blessing, he has put into the world negative consequences when we do wrong to warn us about the wrong. Now, can you imagine that had Pharaoh continued to have this relationship with Sarah's wife, it could have ended up maybe causing a war in time. So what God does, he allowed something to happen to Pharaoh, and it says very clearly here that the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah. Now, the next verse says, Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife?" How did he figure that out? Well, with these plagues happening, perhaps Sarah herself told him. And it's kind of like, I remember Naaman, the Syrian. Remember he came down with leprosy. That wasn't anything because of his fault. But look what happened. The little girl that he had captured from the Israelites, who was the servant of his wife, she served his wife, said, "You go to Elisha and he can heal you." And what a tremendous item. I'll bet you when we get to heaven, Naaman will be thanking God that he received leprosy. Because he's in heaven. And I'm sure, who knows about Pharaoh, what kind of attitude and faith he had once he realized that the God of Abram is not somebody to fool around with.
Mm-hmm. But then again, Abraham got off scot-free, though, didn't he?
Well, no, he didn't. Because every time people talk about Abraham, you know, we're always looking for somebody in the Bible who never sinned. And this is a huge sin because God never criticizes anybody just for sin. He always criticizes them for the unbelief behind the sin. And he realized, if you take a look back at verse 12, "They will kill me, but they will let you live." He had no faith at that point that God's promises would come true, that he would be going to the promised land, etc., etc. He thought he would die. And therefore, he didn't get off scot-free. He's got a terrible reputation of not believing in the God of Abraham, who kept his promises even when Abraham did not believe those promises.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Pastor, for your explanation.
And thank you so much for calling. And we're not going to be taking any more calls simply because we're just running out of time. And I've got a few things I want to give you some understanding of. I sure appreciate being doing the Bible studies. I've already mentioned this. Tuesday morning, 11 a.m., Emmanuel Olivet. Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive. Wednesday night, of course, we're at Hope High Ridge, and that's on the outer road of Gravois. I can give you directions if you want to email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. And then last evening was at Trinity Orchard Farm. These are all different Bible studies. One's on parables, one's on Jesus, for example, in the Old Testament. Another one is on the book of Revelation. But this Sunday, I'm really looking forward to this. We're going to be having a wonderful worship service at Trinity Orchard Farm. Every fifth Sunday, they combine their worship services. And they meet not in the church, but in the school. There's a large room there. And they have a worship service at 9 a.m., followed by a brunch. And anybody coming will be able to have the brunch. And then I'm going to do about an hour or so of Law and Gospel videos. I don't do videos on the radio for obvious reasons. Nobody can see them, but you will be entertained by them. They'll really help you understand the goal of the Christian church as well as Law and Gospel. You'll be out of there by 1 p.m. in the afternoon. How do you get to Trinity Orchard Farm? I think yesterday or a couple of days ago, I mentioned it was on Highway 50. No, that's where when I go to Rosebud, way out on 44. Trinity Orchard Farm is real easy. You take 370 over the Missouri River. That's that kind of new highway. And as soon as you get over the Missouri River, you make a quick right and you go down to 94. So it's the first exit and you turn left and go about 3 or 4 miles and you'll see a school on the left. Then down the street, you can see a church. Well, don't go to the church. Go to the school on the left. Turn into the parking lot. At 9 a.m., we'll begin our worship. I am preaching, and we'll be taking a look, therefore, at if some of our folks from KFUO are available. You do not have to be Lutheran in order to come to the worship service. So we'll look forward to see you there. And we're also going to be having a whole slew of products there that we're only too willing to sell at really reduced prices. And so that's Trinity Orchard Farm out on Highway 94 in the St. Charles area. I'm Tom Baker. On Monday, what has the Transfiguration got to do with you? That's the topic. Until then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.